A Christian not only believes in Jesus, but they behave like Jesus. A Christian is Christ-like. And when those in Antioch, the Gentiles, the ungodly people, as they looked at the Christian church at Antioch, they said, my goodness, they're behaving just like Jesus. And so they called them Christians.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In last week's message entitled, The Church on the Launchpad, Pastor Brian Grant led us in an examination of a truly momentous happening in the church in Antioch. How the saints of that church, sensitive to the Holy Spirit and His leading, and in a great step of obedient faith, sent forth the first Christian missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. In the second part of that message we will hear this week, Pastor Grant explores the realities that must have faced the Antioch church in that obedient faith sometimes comes with a personal cost. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Grant picks up the thread from last week. Here's Pastor Grant.
And so as I speak to you this morning, I'm standing on my tiptoes with expectancy because I'm praying for a mighty movement of God in my generation. I am not one of those who's going to fold my hands and say, it's all over. No, no, no. I am looking to God to do something big in my generation. And I'm asking that you would join me in prayer that God might use me and that God might use you, that He might use all of us in such a mighty way that, listen, a mighty movement of God will begin in this place to touch the lives of many in our community and around the world. The church at Antioch was so serious about seeing God work, they made a sacrifice. They sacrificed the normal comforts of food to see God's face. And I'm going to say to you, when we're seriously looking for God to do something special, we'll be ready to sacrifice. I let the Spirit of God work it out in your own life. Because in our generation, there is this. I read a statistic and it said, the studies show that the present generation is the most self-absorbed generation in the history of America. I'll touch on, I may say that again later on and in the coming weeks, because it's one of the things they're saying is because our generation is so self-absorbed, missionary work is dying. There are almost no new young people saying to God, God, you can use me. They're saying that in the last 20 years or so, the number of young people who go to church has dropped 50% in this country. My brother and sister, those of us who are here, God is not worrying about those who are not here. He's speaking to those of us who are here. And He's saying to you, and He's saying to me, how serious are you about the things of God? How serious are you about seeing God do something special? And He's saying, if you really want to see the power of God, sacrifice is necessary. Amen? Do you realize the sacrifice? The sacrifice it took for the gospel to get to you and me today? Think of how many people died. Think of the persecution. And God, in my generation, in our generation, He is going to use some of us to challenge you and to challenge ourselves that we cannot maintain the status quo. God wants to do something just like He did at Antioch. God wants to do something. But third, it was not only an a unified church. It was not only an expectant church, but it was a Spirit-led church. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" The Spirit of God was speaking, and they were sensitive enough to the work of the Spirit that they heard the Spirit speak. I don't know why the Lord put that so much on my heart, the fact that they heard the Spirit speak. But the more I mused on that, the more I became concerned that it is possible that we are so programmed. We have so many programs and so many experts that it's possible that we may miss hearing the Spirit of God. Now, you know, when I was a teenager, I remember having a number of significant arguments with my elders because of their resistance to planning. You know, growing up, my elders would say when we young people would encourage them to, "We need to plan something," their favorite phrase was, "We don't want to plan because we don't want to plan out the Holy Spirit." I thought my brother Richard would have finished the sentence for me, because that was such a well-known sentence. We heard that so many times. "We don't want to plan because we don't want to plan out the Holy Spirit." The impression they gave is that these things are mutually exclusive, and that if you do planning, that the Holy Spirit is against planning. That's not so. We need to plan. The Holy Spirit can guide us in our planning, but make sure even while we are planning, we are listening to the voice of the Spirit. But I do believe the pendulum has swung to the exact other side. And today we're so full of experts. We have experts. We have experts to show us how to get the money out of the saints. We have experts to help us to show what to preach on. Oh yes, so experts will come here and they will do surveys in the neighborhood and they'll find out what the neighbors want to hear about, and then they will come to me and they say, "Here is what they want to hear. This is what you are to preach." So yes, we'll get a great crowd. I can give you some good little pep talks, some real inspirational stuff, some real pablum, make you feel so nice and good. You know, I was thinking this morning, that, you know, if you come to church and every time you come to church, you leave here just feeling great, something is wrong. I don't know if you realize that. Although today, church has taken a twist where everybody wants to leave church feeling motivated. But you realize if every time you leave here, you feel so excited and motivated, something is wrong. Because guess what? This Word of God is not only to motivate you. The Word of God is to correct you. Sometimes you're supposed to leave here feeling like you've felt a good whipping. That God said, "Boy, stop that misbehaving, boy. Straighten up and fly right." Sometimes there ought to be a sense that when you leave here, you say, "Oh, God, I have missed it. I have not been pleasing you. I've not been walking good." Sometimes, of course, you need to leave here just excited and thrilled. But, oh God, the Spirit of God wants to do so many other things with us when we are listening to the Spirit of God. Listen, A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. Lord, have mercy. May that never be true of us. We must keep our hearts clean and be sensitive enough so we can hear the Spirit speak. A church that's ready for mission is a church that is led by the Holy Spirit. And we cannot underemphasize that. For some, this may seem, "Oh, we don't want to hear that point." This is so important. This is at the center. But second, not only it was a Spirit-led church, not only because they heard the Spirit speak, but because they were obedient to the Spirit. And in Acts 13:3, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent off Barnabas and Saul. Without too much delay, they commissioned Barnabas and Saul to the ministry. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Ladies and gentlemen, this was a very costly decision. this Barnabas and Saul, if you remember, were their two key men. Barnabas and Saul were the two men who God had sent them and who had discipled them and had built the church up. And now the Spirit of God is saying to them, send Barnabas and Saul. You can just imagine, not Barnabas and Saul. God, you could say, but any other two you can take. Take money in. Oh, that fellow, the Niger. You can take those. We need these two guys. You know, it's amazing. The church on the launch, God may take the very best. I wonder if your parents or you have your child and they've done very well in school, and now your child says, Mom, Dad, I'm thinking of serving the Lord full time. So what do you say? Do you encourage them? Do you say, that is so wonderful to hear. I'm going to pray with you to make sure that that is what God wants. Is that what you do? Or do you say, I don't think that's it. My dear, do you realize I spent, your education has cost a couple hundred thousand dollars. What do you do? Just so you know, actually praying that some of you have that challenge. Oh yeah, I'm actually praying that the Spirit of God is going to start moving in the hearts of some of the young people in our church where they're going to say, God, in light of what you have done for me, I am willing to do anything you call me to do. And if you want me to serve you 100%, I am willing to do that. I'm actually praying that God is going to speak to somebody. I'm not necessarily praying about your kid, but I'm praying he's going to do to somebody's kid. Suppose he's calling you. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to say, God, here am I. Use me.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. Further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Obeying the Spirit usually has a cost attached. And may God help us to obey the leading of the Spirit. But number four, only a unified church, it was not only an expectant church, it was not only a Spirit-led church, but it was a Christ-like church. And I want you to jump back with me here to Acts of the Apostles chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And we spoke about that, how important that was. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That is such a stunning thing. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Not in Jerusalem, but at Antioch, the Gentile church. Why did they call them Christians? Do you know that 71% of Americans identify themselves as Christian? Although if this number is really true, if 71% of Americans are really Christians, you have to wonder, why is America's culture in such a rapid decline? And I believe the reason is because there's a big difference between how we define Christian today versus what they meant when they called the disciples Christian at Antioch. You see, today a Christian is defined as a person professing Christianity. They may have received Christian baptism, or they may be a believer in the teaching of Jesus. I shared with you, all the pastors in the Christian church are paid by the government. And I spoke to some of the Christians there, and they let me know, you know, a lot of the pastors don't believe in Jesus. So can you imagine, you don't even believe in Jesus, but you're the pastor of a Christian church. They don't believe Jesus is God. They believe that there was a Jesus. Teachings are good. So you don't have to believe Jesus is God under our modern day definition of Christian. You like the teachings of Jesus? That's good enough. But when the people at Antioch called the disciples Christian, it went much deeper than that. They called them Christian because after watching their lifestyle, they saw that these were followers of Christ. You see, a Christian is a follower of Christ. These were people who not only believed in Jesus, but get this, they behaved like Jesus. Do you get it? A Christian not only believes in Jesus, but they behave like Jesus. A Christian is Christ-like. And when those in Antioch, the Gentiles, the ungodly people, as they looked at the Christian church at Antioch, they said, my goodness, they're behaving just like Jesus. And so they called them Christian. Do you know that Mahatma Gandhi once said, I wish that I could be Christ-like without becoming a Christian. Gandhi was so impressed with the life of Christ that he wanted to be Christ-like. But at least he got it right. He realized you can't be Christ-like without becoming a Christian. But oh, it's so sad in our generation. Christian has fallen on such bad favor that it is you can join any Christian church without having a desire to be Christ-like. But my friend, if you're here this morning, I want you to know being a Christian is more than being baptized in some church. Being a Christian is more than being confirmed in a church. You know, one of the great things, sometimes you watch the Billy Graham Crusade over the years, and one of the great things as you watched, you realize even some bishops got saved at the crusade because although they were high in the hierarchy of the church, they had never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, all I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you may be a member of a church or a member of 10 churches. But if you don't, if you have never come to the point where you said, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner and I need your salvation and I need you to come into my heart and cleanse me by the blood that you shed on Calvary. Until you come and admit your sin and ask him for his salvation, don't say that you are a Christian. Listen good. After you say that, listen good. Remember, the reason why the disciples were called Christian is because they were Christ-like. And may the Spirit of God challenge each of us this morning that we might allow the Spirit of God to examine us to find out, am I really Christ-like? Some folks know how to talk like Christians when they're in church. But God isn't impressed with talk. He wants to see your walk. He wants to see that Christ is being formed in you. So I ask you, young person, and I ask you, older one, is Christ being formed in you? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Fifth, this church, its members were responsive to the call of God. It's interesting that this church was not started by an apostle. I said that to you a few weeks ago. This church was not started by an apostle. This church was a church started by someone in the pew. And I think it is very significant that the church that God would put so much emphasis on, the church that would launch this mission to the unknown was a church not started by an apostle. There is amazing power in the pew. Too often, the pastor and the elders and others, God is calling every single one of us. Amen? A church that is ready for mission, for their mission, realizes that God has gifted every single member of the pew to carry out His mission. I hope you realize that. Do you realize that God has specially gifted you? That God is up to something? That God wants to do something in your generation and in my generation? And that God, the hands that He uses are actually your hands and my hands? It's your feet and my feet. It's your voice and my voice. That God wants to use you and He wants to use me, and that He has specially gifted us to carry out His mission. And somehow, somewhere, some person who was not an apostle or any big shot shared the gospel, and this church at Antioch got started, and this church would spread. Others would be brought in to help it to grow, and this church is now about to launch the great mission to overseas. I believe God is seeking for a new generation of men and women who are willing to offer themselves in service to Him. And I'm going to wrap this message up in a moment. But I want to ask you, are you willing to say to God, God, you can use me? There's a little song, a little chorus that says, if you can use anything, Lord, use me. You know, God can use anything. He has used the jawbone of an ass. He has used a slingshot. He has used a donkey. He can use anything. Are you going to say to God, this church was ready for launch? Are you going to say, God, I am expectant. I want to see you do something in my generation. God, I am willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. God, I want to live a life that pleases you. And God, I'm available to you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now. Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.